Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight in absentia. The time is 25 minutes left to the hour of 5, and as always, it's Home Run time, your drive time show, and I'm going to be flying solo for this whole week because Dwight will be, for those of you that is in the northern regions, watch out for someone who is, you know, has a, you know, a skin that is likely allergic to the sun, you know, just, pour water on him, you know, from time to time if you see him turning pink. Now, assuming he's not listening and, you know, already plotting my demise, for now. So, well, let's, you know, get back to, today's lesson, more like today's discussion. It's not a lesson. I'm not an expert at, you know, at any, anything really. Apart from, you know, apart from cracking jokes at that, now that I'm, you know, I'm an expert. Let's start with one of my, favorite, topic. Well, today's discussion is about, it's basically a continuation of, last week's, you know, of last week's home run. Now, last week on home run, we were talking about, the south, you know, south-south, you know, un momento. That is exactly why I there we go. last week we talked about the Samoa agreement. Now the Samoa agreement, that was more on emphasizing south south corporations, and this is basically development wise. And I remember the point that I like to make every time that we talk about basically everything economic is that you have to understand. Economic is a fancy way of saying doing business. You're basically doing business. You know, let me just, like, this is also one way that I, you know, at least like to simplify things for myself so that we don't use jargons like economic development, foreign direct investment and all that, you know, and all that lingo. I mean, that's very technical. No wonder why actually a lot of those that, you know, that, and, you know, that speak regular English, acquired from a government school, we now have, I mean, we end up, you know, we end up reciting words we don't fully understand. So, because I'm just, well, I don't have a lot of, you know, I don't have much life outside my house. I like to sort of like, read up on some of these things to basically try to simplify it for myself so that I don't, you know, start memorizing a bunch of long words I don't fully understand, at least not on a technical level. Now, well, when you look at it, when you look at economic, you know, everything, you know, all economic discussions, whether you're looking at it, whether you're calling it foreign direct investment, whether you're looking at, whether you're calling it creating employment, it, I mean, it's predominantly economical. In, you know, it's very, it's predominantly economical. That's a fancy way of saying it's, it has to do with trading. Whether you're trading products, services, or skills. The bottom line is, whether you're selling a product that you're manufacturing, or whether you're offering a service, and in exchange for a fee of that, you know, in exchange for a fee of that service, whether you're selling a product in exchange for a fee of that product, or you are, or you are, you know, you are exchanging or trading with skills. Take, for example, you invite, not invite. Well, that more sounds, you know, make it sound like it's a party. When you're tap breaks, for example, and you don't have the skill or the technical know-how to, you know, you don't know crap like me. You don't know crap about plumbing. You have to call someone who is qualified to do that. First of all, to know what type of, you know, what type of faucets are you using. And, what is the, you know, if something is, it needs to be bought, for example, where do you find it? How much is it most likely to cost? Where do you find the, you know, the best quality so you don't keep, repairing the same thing over and over again? You have to bring in someone who was trained to fix those things. Now, what they are bringing to your house when they are fixing that, they offer a service. They are exchanging that skill with the money that you give them in return. And, whether you, you know, when you work for an institution, well, I'm in a, now I'm in a media landscape. So, what we do is bring our skills to basically break down the information that we spend every time of our slots talking about, and that for that we are compensated every month. And you're welcome. Now now every time that every time that politicians show up and they start saying things like we will create employment, that's a very vague term of saying, if you vote for me, I will bring business individuals that are going to create opportunities. They will, take for example, if I go to Divundu right now, and for some reason I just decide to go there and promise them that, well, if you vote for me to be in parliament, Jesus Christ. But anyway, just thinking of it is just sending, nerves down my spine. Now, here's the thing. If I went to Divundu right now and started promising them that if you vote for me, I will create this and these opportunities. Now, if you just write down a list of the opportunities that I will promise, you realize that I don't have a single qualification to single-handedly offer all those opportunities. So that then is a very long way of saying, if you vote for me, I'll find people that are qualified and people that have the technical and machinery and basically equipment, infrastructure, and skills and everything that can offer these things like food processing, for example, to come and do their businesses here. So that for those of you that are qualified to work in that landscape, then they will employ you. Those are the advantages you are going to get if you vote for me. So that's a fancy way of saying, if you vote for me, I'll bring business individuals that will help us achieve certain economical advantages that we can easily exploit to our advantage in this area called Divundu. Now, when you look at it from that, you begin to understand that every time that we talk about anything development, 90% of the times the person giving the speech does not have the qualifications to offer all that they are promising. That's basically a fancy way of saying, whatever that they are promising, maybe they have one or two people in mind. Maybe they know people within that industry that they can communicate with. Maybe they know, a relative, or maybe, an old friend. Or, maybe they're just looking forward to flat out bribing the heck out of someone to come and invest in that, in that particular sector. So it's all about business. Now, when you begin to understand that, whether you're talking about, local or foreign direct investment, you are talking about going to convince someone, whether this someone is a local investor or a foreign investor, to come and basically gamble their money in a certain sector. To some degree, it has some degree of gambling. Now, when you look at it from that angle, you begin to understand that free things don't actually exist, because the politician promising you money are themselves broke. So you're asking yourself, where the heck are they going to get the money? So it's been simplified, which is a good thing, but then within these simplifications, a lot of things were basically left out. That's making, causing a lot of confusion, I think, for a lot of us that are not experts, at everything financial. And the world of finance is a very complicated one. And it's complicated because you are dealing with money. That's not rocket science. That's for one reason. I think for some of the reasons why it's complicated, it's complicated on purpose. It's complicated on purpose. Now, anyone that have watched, basically gone through the Panama, the Panama Papers, the Panama Papers discussions, have come across what's this, a Dutch Irish sandwich or something. It's a very sophisticated economic money moving strategy that every investigator will look at that structure and go like, how the heck am, this is a lot of money. They will just drop the investigation because it's complicated. And they'll be like, exactly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And welcome back. So, after going through that whole, you know, after going through all that rambling foundation, let's talk about investment. Now, every country on this planet has, you know, needs in the words of, Larry Fink, the CEO, you know, the BlackRock CEO, that every country needs a growth strategy. Now, because every country wants to achieve some degree of economic, you know, some degree of economic accomplishment, we all looking forward, you know, wherever you go, on this planet today, you have a lot of countries that basically have dreams. And we have, you know, in the very same way that we have dreams on a personal level. In my life, I want to accomplish this. In my life, I want to accomplish this. And every team that you go for example, that you go to, whether it's a sports team or any type of team, they have a goal in mind. Well, guess what? So do countries. They also have goals. We've heard of Agenda 2030, Agenda 2063, and all this. Sometimes what we are beginning to notice now is that a lot of blocs, like the African Union and the Economic and the European Union, not the Economic Union, the African Union and the European Union, came together back in 2020. Back in 2022, in February of 2022, then they came up with something called Joint Vision 2030. Joint Vision 2030 and basically put Agenda 2063. That's for Africa. Still looking forward to, you know, economic growth. So, when you look at it, you now begin to see that, The 16th one is the one that took place in 2022 in Brussels. The 16th EU-AU summit, took place in, in Côte d'Ivoire. If you want to go the French way, but, Ivory Coast for those of us that are not, Français. Now. But, the reason why we're going to focus much on the, you know, on the 16th, EU-AU summit, that took place in Brussels, back in 2022, the one in Ivory Coast was, I believe, in November of 2021. And in 2022, the 15th, EU-AU summit. The 16th one took place in Brussels, which is the administrative capital of the EU. That's where they have the European Parliament. So now, when they met there, they discussed something interesting that is a joint vision for 2030, between the two blocs. That's the African Union and the European Union. First of all, if you look at these two unions, there's a huge difference. For one, 50 plus countries makes up the African Union. 27 countries makes up the EU. But if you look at the sheer economic power, the EU is light years ahead of us. So that means it's, you don't really have to be an expert to come to the realization that every economic advancement that's going to be proposed in this, in this collabo is most likely going to be, especially in terms of investment, the financial power is mostly going to come from the EU. Because they have the financial power, they have the infrastructure, they have the, 60 to 90% of diamonds that are traded worldwide go through go through Belgium, I believe. Yeah, they have to go through, you know, they had to go through Antwerp, Belgium. So they have the infrastructure because they have been investing in this infrastructure for a very long time. Now, here's the kicker, though. In 2022, the AU and the EU made an agreement that we need a joint vision 2030. This is a fascinating piece of subject to talk about. Basically, this was back in 2022. You want to know what the African Union's theme for this year is? Joint reparation. Now, at this point, we're going to get to that in a few. So, when they met back in 2022, what did they talk about? Well, they basically set goals. The goals that they set is the one that is basically brought about this discussion, because they set the goals back in 2022, and in May of this year, they published a report to basically show the progress that have been observed since the last time the goals were set back in 2022. Now, the sixth EU AU summit, a joint vision, as it was titled, a vision for 2030. Oh, dear Lord. Okay, here we go again. That's according to the African Union's own website. We, the heads of state and government of member states of the African Union and the European Union, met on the 17th to the 18th of February, 2022, under the co-chairmanship of Mr. Charles Michel, the then president of the EU and president of the and Macky Sall, who was chairing the African Union at the time. Remember how we sent him to Russia to go and negotiate the opening up of the blockade so we can get wheat. W-E-A-T. Wheat. It's W-H-E-A-T. I don't know. Now, anyway, what happened was, they met in Brussels. So they came up with, then they were like, we need to come up with something that is going to benefit all of us. I have so many questions, but I'll keep them to myself. They basically went through a list of points. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8 points. But, I'm only going to focus on 2. And that's this, let's start with the second one. The two unions, a joint vision, agreed that the aim of the joint vision is to consolidate a renewed partnership for solidarity. That's a fancy way of saying we started off on a wrong foot because we built 90% of the infrastructure after colonizing you. Now that we have, we can do better is basically what we're saying here. Now, then there was somewhat very interesting things going on here. The two unions agreed that the aim of the joint vision is to consolidate a renewable partnership for solidarity, security, peace and sustainable and sustained economic development, prosperity for our citizens and for our future generations, bringing together our people, region and regions. Now that last part sent me rolling on the floor. bringing together our people, regions, and organizations, not religion. Relax, guys. You know, the religion, guys. You know, just chill a bit. Now, here's the thing. What is the biggest problem going on in most of the EU countries right now? Immigrants. Where are most of those immigrants coming from? The Middle East and Africa. So now that was also addressed in this. Now that was also addressed in the report. So we're gonna get to report in a few. Now I'm so glad they addressed that, but we're going to get that. You know, to that in a few. So now the point I'm trying to make is bringing the people of these two, you know, of these two unions together is one of the, you know, is one of these partnerships' massive undertaking, if you ask me. Because first of all, it's no secret that most of the military activities that's that these guys have participated in have had some type of a ripple effect, because every time that you bomb a country, it becomes insecure, and when it comes insecure, people run to places that are safe. Well, guess which one is safe on the list of safe countries? Yours. So now you have this very anti-immigrant sentiment coming out, you know, spreading all across the, you know, all across Europe, especially Western Europe. Now, that is where you now have, that's where this, if you ask me, is going to be one massive challenge for both, unions. And, it's fascinating. Mostly because I didn't write it. No, so I can question everything. Now, on renewed partnership will be found on a geography, acknowledgement of history, human ties. Okay. Respect for sovereignty. Yeah, right. Moving on. Mutual respect, accountability, shared value, equality between partners, and a reciprocal commitment. Okay. I'm just saying that's a long list of things that are, again, you know, one thing I've come to observe, especially when it comes to power, is that, and this is also very true of every one of us personal lives. We all know that, well, this time of the month, drawing up the budget is very easy. No, this month I'll only buy this and this and this and this. Right. I think I have my financial, you know, life in order. And then month end comes, you get the notification, throw away the list, go on a shopping spree, come back broke, and then realize that you did not buy a single thing that's on that list. Like, you know what, next month I'm going to do this. And you do the same damn mistake again, and then throw away the list, go shopping spree, come back broken, and like, man, next month. Now, that's like the loop of stupidity that a lot of, not only a lot of individuals are caught into, but also a lot of countries are caught into. Let me explain why I'm saying that. It's because accountability, shared value, equality between partners, and reciprocal commitments. Okay. I'm not saying it's unachievable. I'm just saying, you know, when I look at where we are right now, especially investment-wise, and by that I mean, who is spending the biggest check? Things are not going very well. At least not for Africa. Now, I think the first discussion to have here is when it comes to immigration. These Africans that are leaving to face all the chaos that's taking place, anti-immigration sentiments, but commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people.
people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Welcome back. So when it comes to investment, the most important question I think to ask ourselves is, how are business operating? You can bet that when it comes to union level type of agreements, multinational companies are going to be involved in the financing and the, financing either directly or indirectly. You can call it investing if you want to go the politically correct lingo. They are going to be involved into these trades. So that means these companies are publicly traded on the stock exchange of their respective jurisdictions, whether it's the the London Stock Exchange, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, the Namibia Stock Exchange, all these stock exchanges. So when a company is publicly traded, it has shareholders. And whether you like it or not, those are the priority. And I really find it fascinating why no one seems to keep pointing that part out. So, in other words, whether we like it or not, it's important to have a private public partnership when it comes to development. That's very important. But the regulations now becomes a priority, a very huge one if you want to pull this off. But, now this is something that the EU have been known to be very good at when it comes to regulating. But, here's the thing though, I'm not saying the system must be perfect. I'm just saying if you look at what's going on in the world of business right now, this is going to take forever. Summarize it for you. On a renewed partnership, our renewed partnership addresses both the immediate opportunities and challenges as well as long-term possibilities offered by our partnership. This sounds very nice on paper. And now, on prosperous and sustainable Africa and Europe. That is the second part. Dive a little bit deeper on. So let's save that one for last. And then you have, renewed and enhanced cooperation for peace and security. And you have an enhanced and a reciprocal partnership for migration and mobility. That is going to be a third one. Because now on that one, they dive into sort of like a look at the whole, immigration issues. Now, for those of you that are regular Home Run listeners, you know that last year in January, there was an AU Italy summit. Now, at that summit, the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni pointed out that the investment plan that her country has in mind and is that of two beds with one stone. Because Italy is one of those countries that is facing some heavy immigration problems, and most of these immigrants are coming from Africa. And obviously the Middle East. And most of them are going through Turkey. Now, here's the thing. Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister, proposed what she called the Mattei Plan. Now, the Mattei Plan was that for Italians, especially in the areas of energy, among other sectors, to come and invest in Africa so that those investments can create employment for the Africans that are begging to leave this continent because of lack of opportunities. Now, that will then solve Italy's immigration problem that they're dealing with. And also, economic issues that a lot of Africans are, that is causing a lot of Africans to run away from home. So, Africans get opportunities to basically earn a living out of this investment. And Italy does not then have to face a wave after wave of immigration. It's very nice on paper. Except we are not asking the real question here. I know that the Italian, the Italian Prime Minister, have asked this question let's look at the root cause here. Why are these immigrants coming? And when she asked that question, you can bet, the French didn't like it. By the French, I mean the French government. They didn't like that. Because her point was, if you can just stop exploiting their countries, they are gonna stop coming. Now, if your country depends on a large amount of uranium from the exploited countries to run its economy, leaving it will mean plunging yourself into darkness. Therefore, you are sort of like caught in a loop of evil. Now you have to keep doing what you do, because if you give up, the disadvantages that is coming from your actions and impacting others are going to start going to be reversed, and they're going to come straight for you. In other words, you don't want to be poor. So you'd rather keep doing things that's making others poor. As long as I'm not suffering. Well, that's okay. Understandably, immigration is causing a lot of chaos. Not just in Europe, but also in the, not just in Europe, but also in the US. Now, before you start pointing, I know that when it comes to these things, a lot of fingers have been pointed towards, have been pointed towards immigrants. But one thing that, one thing that most developed countries, one problem that most developed countries are not facing is that economic inequality is the biggest problem. Not immigration. Ask yourself one question. I'm not sure if that guy is an American or European who pointed out that, one thing that I find fascinating is how our leaders have managed to convince those of us who don't have all the money that, the reason why we don't have all the money is the people that are coming from other countries broke and they don't have all the money. It's like telling a poor person that, now you are rich, right? You are telling a poor person that, you know what? And when you're saying this, you are standing on a pile of resources that you have hoarded from everyone else. And then you start saying, well, the reason why you two are poor is because of each other. It has nothing to do with me. Now, this is exactly what's going on here. Rent prices have shot through the roof, and the services, all the necessary services like health and education, the prices have gone through the roof for the private sector, and for the public sector, the infrastructure, the service overall is becoming dilapidated by the day. So, and you are told the reason for that is that person. Now, one of my favorite statement on this whole immigration issue is from Julius Malema, when a lot of South Africans started saying that foreigners are the reasons why we don't have jobs. Now, here's the thing though. I can't go out there right now and start protesting that Zimbabweans are taking our jobs. Not me. I don't think I can say that. Why? Now, because if I start saying, the reason why I don't have a job as a judge is because a Zimbabwean is a judge. Now, at this point, every Namibian in the recruitment in any, in our legal system will ask him, okay, you know what? We're going to send this Zimbabwean back. Now we're going to have you, but before we do that, you're going to have to come to us and present to us documents that you are qualified to be the judge. And the best I can provide is a grade 7 certificate. Now we have a problem. This is a big problem in terms of immigration, not just in Africa, but also in a lot of, but also in Europe and in the US. the people that most of the people, let me just use the word most, just to be safe. A lot of the people that are saying that immigration, you know, immigrants are taking our jobs, they don't have the qualifications to do those jobs. I think it was last year or back in 2023. I'm not sure if he's still the governor of Ron DeSantis. I'm not sure if he's still the governor of the state. Is it Florida? Ron DeSantis decided to implement in his state, decided to implement very strict immigration laws. And because of that, a lot of undocumented immigrants started leaving the state of Florida, I think, to go to other states, some of which most of them decided to go to nearby places like Texas. Now, because of that, their farm activities came to a standstill. Their construction activities came to a standstill. Why? It's because the people that were running around marching that immigrants are taking our jobs were either too unqualified or too lazy to do the farm work. And that is basically a case of every developed country. When a country develops, a lot of its people begin to be picky with regards to the jobs that they're willing to do. And that pickiness creates a vacuum in a lot of unskilled labor areas, like fruit picking, for example. But you know what? For those fruits to end up in a grocery store, someone must pick them. Now, what happens is, this is how a lot of developed countries begin to rely on immigrants. Because the more a country develops, the more its people are going to be picky with regards to jobs that they're willing to and not willing to do. This is not just a problem that's taking place in Africa, especially when it comes to cross-border movements between different countries in Africa. But this is a problem for the most parts of the EU, especially Western Europe, and also the US. So now, because this is the EU Vision 2030. Summit on commitments of multilateralism. Don't have time for that. On immigration, they discussed something very interesting here, or more like they set a very interesting goal here. An enhanced and a reciprocal partnership for migration and mobility. On the bright side, this is actually going to be one of those very 50% hard, 50% easy when it comes to EU-AU. Because why? Because it's been established for those that have money to travel. It's much easier for one to hop on a plane and go to a European country than for anyone, especially visa-wise, it's not easy. But travel-wise, in terms of infrastructure, like planes traffic, or commercial airliner traffic, for example, it's very easy. So that's not going to be difficult. The immigration, on the other hand, it doesn't matter what when it comes to immigration, it doesn't matter how you put it. If an immigrant or the person that's coming from a different country is undocumented, that's going to create a lot of problems for you. You are going to have some serious problems with the authorities. That's not rocket science at all. But if you are documented and you can prove that you are actually legally in that you are in that country legally, I don't see a problem. Now, what goals did they set on immigration and mobility? an enhanced and a reciprocal partnership for migration and mobility. We will continue addressing all aspects of migration and mobility and in line with national competences in an integrated, comprehensive and balanced manner. We will work in a spirit of joint responsibility and commitment in full respect of international law and fundamental human rights. Yeah. I like reading things on paper. Now, through joint action and capacity building, including with dedicated African migration institutions, we will aim to prevent irregular migrations, to enhance cooperations against smuggling and trafficking, because this is a real business. The people that are going to that can smuggle you into a lot of different countries, just to give them money. That's literally what they do. They smuggle people in different countries, and people pay to be smuggled. People literally pay to be trafficked. Now, at this point, if I was a father and my kids were, are always sneaking out of my house, including paying people to sneak them out of my house so they can go into the neighbor's house, as a father, I think the first question I would be asking myself is, what am I not doing right? Before I start pointing all the fingers to the children for sneaking out, the first question I would be asking myself is, what am I doing wrong? But from the look of things, at least from an large African perspective, we are not addressing the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is people are leaving because of economic inequality. Now, if you say the reason why they are leaving is because they're uneducated, we wouldn't be having a brain drain discussion. Yep. So the reason why they are leaving is because it's not 100% an immigrant's problem for leaving. It's not 100% my child's problem for sneaking out if I'm always abusing them. Yeah. Anyway, most African leaders, unfortunately, will talk about immigration, will talk about anything with regards to immigration except why are my people leaving? Why are they risking their lives, loading themselves on, in a canoe, filling it, filling it three times the capacity it was intended to carry, and literally sailing in that boat across the ocean, and a lot of them die. Now, any father, at least any normal father, the first question they would ask themselves is, if my children are willing to cross the ocean in a canoe and risk dying in the process, whatever it is that they are running from, it must be so bad. But no one is asking that question. We just say, you just leave your continent and go there. You are not proud to be African. No, I am proud to be African. But here's the thing. I can't eat pan-Africanism if you've noticed. If you look on, if you just look up, a list of types of food found in Africa. A list of types of food found in Africa. You will come to realize that pan-Africanism is not on that list. Ubuntu is not on that list. There is a literal farmable food that must be there. Now, and then there is the economic inequality part. Especially when it comes to countries like Namibia. Oh dear Lord, economic inequality. Namibia and South Africa, economic inequality is our thing. Like globally, is our thing, really. And we have dominated that list of the top two globally unequal countries since last time I checked, 2018. So in other words, how do I put this? M23, the Taliban's, the Al-Qaeda guys, and pretty much every terrorist organization you can name, they know how to share resources better than Namibia and South Africa. So we are very good at keeping the resources on one side, and then the rest, I don't know. You can just go there and chill. So the aspect of security, on the other hand, is a very interesting one. Well, first we'll have to define what security is. And let's get to, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to start looking at some of the investments that were pointed out in the report, the progress that had been made. Now, before we disappear on a break, there's something I would like to point out on the a renewed partnership. Now, somewhere in there on paragraph number 100, it's not number 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Now, anyway, in response to the microeconomic effects of COVID-19 crisis on the African continent, we support the common framework for debt treatment beyond the debt service suspension initiative. That's the part that made me go like, please make this a reality. Except, most of the institutions African countries owe money from Bretton Woods institutions. Those are American, not the EU. But anyway, I just one of those things that got me sort of like chuckling like a 3-year-old. So then they went on to say that we also call for an ambitious voluntary contribution by channeling a part of the recently allocated special drawing rights in order to achieve the total global ambitions of at least $100 billion liquidity support for countries most in need, minus Eritrea, because Eritrea is not having any. Now, obviously, the EU-AU joined Vision 2030 the main goal is to achieve, especially for Africa, economic development. How do we pull that off? As you can imagine, they ask themselves, how do we pull this off? In the very same discussion, they promised that a prosperous and sustainable Africa and Europe. We announce an Africa-Europe investment package of at least $150 billion that will support our common ambitious 2030 and AU Agenda 2063. Now, that package also emphasized something that I really found interesting. That some of the things that were emphasized in there was to be invested in investment programs like health and education. Now, education, every time that we talk about investment or economic growth, that's kind of like very difficult to do without research and development. Like, this is Africa's biggest problem. Research and development is not our strong suit. And, we really have to pull up our socks in that department. I think it was late last year when the New York Times, published an article called, Can the world make electronic cars like EVs without China? Or they came to a very awesome conclusion for China, and not very awesome conclusion for anyone that's not on a list of friends for China, that the electronic The electronic industry, especially when it comes to components, and especially when it comes to raw material that makes the that the components are made out of, is heavily dominated from mining to refining to the manufacturing of components by China. So, in other words, if you want to have anything that that starts any electronic device that starts with the word smart, you are going to need a computer chip. If you are going to now for you to have access to the equipment to make a computer chip, you are going to be on a list of friends with China. Because if you don't, they'll be like, okay, fine, then no. I mean, we do this on an individual level. I'm not sharing my stuff with you if you don't like me. Why would I do that? Why would I borrow you my car if you don't like me? Walk. In other words, if you like me, I can easily borrow you my car. But if you don't like me, no, absolutely not. Because how sure am I that you're not going to use that car to run me over? It's not rocket science. Even if your intention is not running me over, well, you can't blame me for assuming that. That's just with electronic, vehicles. And also last year, one of the US mainstream media also put up an article that, that said, China in a, China, I think in 1 year, I'm not sure if it's from 2021 to last year or this year, they poured more concrete in less than 10 years than the US did in the whole 20th century. Now, you can't do that without some high level research of research and development investments. In other words, to pour that much concrete, and if you have seen some of the bridges that China is building, you can't do that by crossing your fingers and hope the escalators and all those cranes don't fall apart. Everything must be calculated to the letter for you to come up with the measurements that you are going to use on the calculations that will help you, erect this structure. You must know what you are doing, and all that knowledge comes from what? Research and development. Now, most of us will just be here like, we need to build a bridge that goes across the Fish River Canyon right now. Where do we get engineers like that? Instead of investing in engineers to come, in engineers and people that will pour the cement and come up, and operate the crane, we just be like, and we're friends with China. We just like, you're China. You, what's up? If you can just hand off us some of your engineers, we need to build a bridge here. Well, the money that you are paying them, guess where it's going? Straight to China. And they deserve it because, well, they are giving you a service you have not invested in the skills of. You gotta love how the world operates. I mean, I thought economic things and these whole things are boring, but no, it's not. I mean, it's really nice. Really nice. It basically, it tears down the curtain of I will create employment. And then you put a full stop. The question I always ask myself is, okay, you'll create employment. Nice. Oga, do you have a tax shop? No. Then get out of here. What employment are you going to create? Babysitting? I mean, nice baby, but, I don't work. So, let's take, $150 billion. Was basically, put up. And they said, we are going to invest into education and health, which is a good thing. Now, the question you also have to ask yourself is, where's the money coming from? And whoever that's giving you that money, what's in it for them? Let's normalize asking ourselves that question. Even if the money is from, is donated, it doesn't hurt to ask, what's in it for me? It's like me taking someone's someone's daughter on a date. And then they're like, look, I wouldn't be offended if they asked, okay, Why are you doing this? Because we are human beings. It's what we do. Everything we do has reasons behind. For one reason, we're not dumb. But we are a little dumb. And I'm saying that because even Mother Nature, God, or evolution, whichever you subscribe to, just looked at us and went like, yeah, I'm not putting breathing under your control. Because breathing is involuntary. Isn't Mother Nature looked at us and went like, yeah. Some of these people might end up forgetting how to breathe and then die in the process. So I'll just make sure that things like breathing and, you know, blinking and a heartbeat, that's beyond our control. The brain is just, it's in charge of that. Which is why even if you fall asleep, you can still breathe. Because you're not in charge of it. Because if it was, some people were put in charge of their own breathing, they end up forgetting they have to breathe to live. That's fascinating. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we now look at some of the missions, or more like some of the objectives and how they've been accomplished as it's pointed out in the report that was, published back in May. And that report is, that report is based on, the report that we're going to use after the following commercial break is based on the summit. They joined EU-AU. Vision 2030, a summit that was held in Brussels back in 2022. So, it's gonna be nice. So, let's take a break.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. Let's start off with nice story coming out of Ethiopia. It's a small deviation, if we may. The government officials banned from receiving honorary doctorates. Ouch. We hope this doesn't spread, though. We hope this doesn't spread. The Ministry of Education has issued a new directive. This is not in Namibia, for those of you that have honorary doctorates. Relax. This is in Ethiopia. The Ministry of Education has issued a new directive prohibiting government officials and candidates holding public office icons being nominated for honorary doctorate degrees. According to the directive signed by the Minister of Education, Professor Nega, and established to relevant stakeholders, and distributed to relevant stakeholders on July 23, higher education institutions that have not graduated at least a batches of students and do not offer a third level degree are barred from awarding honorary degrees. You say, people are just walking around. Right. And just how fancy is the title of doctor, though? Just really. I don't know, look. Now, moving on. But before we continue, let's take a life read. This is a Vilvicha University life read. New short courses available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science program. Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements. Grade 12 senior certificate or equivalent NQF level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English. Or grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English. Plus a 2 years relevant industry experience is required. The course costs $5,500 Namibian dollars. Application period is 1 to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Or email admission@wu.edu.na, Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. So, let's look at our report now, shall we? In the land of Africa, where people want, you know, PhDs without studying for them. So, preliminary monitoring report considered by the AU-EU Ministerial Follow-Up Committee. Assessment of the implementation of the Joint Vision for 2030 in view of completion and adoption for the next summit. So, and just decided to skip all that and go straight to my favorite page, and that is page 5. And, you know, commitment, blah, blah, blah. Let's go back to the summit and look at one of the commitment that was made, where $150 billion was channeled into, among other, development packages, was one that was titled A Prosperous and Sustainable Africa and EU. So, this is sort of, trying to establish a mutual relationship between the two continents, because the one before independence was not very mutual. That was, I'm gonna steal you, your resources and your people and pretty much everything you land, for the benefit of me. So we basically saying, we started off on the wrong foot. Now, we are going to start by being fair now, that in everything we do development-wise, we both benefit equally. Now, I want you to put a pin on the word equally, because we're going to be there shortly. Now, that is basically one of the points that was pointed out back in 2022 when they established their joint EU-AU Vision 2030. Fast forward to 3 months later, 2022, 2023, February, this report was published in May, February, March, April, May. Yeah, it's 3 months and 3 years, basically, when this report was put out. So, considerable progress. Yeah, now that's the first pillar now, the prosperous and sustainable Africa and Europe. The very same point that was made in the summit, and a lot of developmental packages were thrown in that direction. Now, what progress have we made? By we, I mean EU and AU. Oh, worry not. We have made some significant FDI. I swear, this word is all over this document. This abbreviation. Now, what is one of those things that was pointed out as one of those accomplishments in these developmental goals? A prosperous and sustainable Africa and Europe. Considerable progress had been made in delivering on the commitments taken or taken at the 6th EU-AU summit, the 6th one, the one in Brussels in 2022, EU-AU summit under the prosperity agenda of joint vision for 2030. Now, the Team Europe approach has enabled joining resources and expertise to develop so far 99 Team Europe initiative with Africa, 18 of regional level and 77 of bilateral level in 45 African countries. Now four at global level. So then they go to, pointing out screw, spree. But, the part that caught my attention there was that, with the global gateway strategy is one of the, EU developmental initiative. So how do I put this? Call it the EU's version to some degree of China's Belt and Road Initiative. Africa doesn't have one, except we are going to get that reparation from the very same people that are funding most of the economic development. Really? At this point, we may as well just be legal. Because clearly we're high. Now, with the global gateway strategy, the EU in its Team Europe approach supports large scale infrastructure investment combined with a 360 degree approach to create sustainable economic and social development impact. Now, this point you're asking, okay, from 2022 to 2025, what is one of those initiatives that has been accomplished in the list of developmental points or developmental goals that we just pointed out, the ones that we agreed upon in the summit in Brussels back in 2022? Well, one of them, because we only have 18 minutes, believe me, oh, it's going to take forever. With the global gateway, the Lobito Corridor. I had a sneaky suspicion I was going to find that in. Now, for those of you that have been living under a rock, first of all, welcome to the outside world. Second of all, the Lobito Corridor group is basically a railway tracks it's the reason why we saw Biden visiting Angola last year, or was that last year or earlier this year? To put a spotlight to that developmental objective. Now, you have to understand every piece of infrastructure is an excellent investment, because this is something that was pointed out, I think, to a larger degree during the State of the Region address by the State of the Region address that Dwight and I went through. And I think, that was the State of the Region address coming out of Mgwena region. My favorite. Trade cannot happen without connecting roads. You need roads for people and goods to move. The more people and goods, the more infrastructure you have for people and goods to move, the more they are going to trade with ease. And then, well, trade is going to go through the roof, and so will your economy. Now, how was the Lobito Corridor looked at as one of those things that should fall under a prosperous and sustainable Africa and Europe? I'm loving this, guys. I'm loving this report. This is just a gold mine. Now, the Lobito Corridor spanning Angola, Zambia, and Democratic Republic of Congo illustrates this approach. It is a strategic economic corridor linking the Lobito port of Angola's Atlantic coast to the resource-rich, of course it is, resource-rich regions of DRC and Zambia. It doesn't stop there. Commercial break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without...
Welcome back. Why, where were we? If you just tuned in, this is a home run with Helmut and Dwight Samuel in the north. And the time is 13 minutes to the hour of six. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run only on Eagle FM. It's a Monday, so we still got the whole week ahead of us. So moving on. What is one of those things that is, can count as an accomplishment in the goals that were set in the joint, Vision 2030 achievement goals back in 2022? Well, one of those things that we have managed to get out of the way is a Lupita Corridor Group. Now, here's the thing though. What I find fascinating when it comes to this is, I thought this was a predominantly American project, hence Joe Biden's visit to Angola. And I thought this was, this report was an African Union, European Union project. Now, what I find fascinating is that not only was the Lupita Corridor Group that made us see Joe Biden, trying his best not to faint from the African sun, visit, risk everything and visit Angola. I'm not sure if you still remember that. But anyway, we also see that the very same project being emphasized into goals that has been achieved in in a joint vision 2030 between the EU and the AU. Like, at this point I'm going, this is interesting. So, is the Lupita Corridor Group a joint venture between the European and the Americans? Which is why I always ask, I always say, ask, where does the money come from? Who is funding the thing? Forget who is writing the best speech. No! Well, a speech is, I can write a speech. A speech that makes promises that are never going to be kept. Any straight guy can write that speech. Anyone. If you're straight and you can't write that. I have a question that Simon Kangwanjara would ask. Should I call you Mister? But moving on. Now, with over 1,800 kilometers of railway, according to the report, of railway infrastructure, the corridor serves as a critical artery that intends to considerably facilitate and lower the transit time and cost of goods amongst those three countries. plus, of course, such as agricultural and industrial products. We're going to get to the sugar of this, as well as the critical raw material. Now we're talking. You see, here's the thing. Critical raw material. That's a very interesting. Now you have to understand that piece of infrastructure. What is it going to move? And how is it going to benefit both sides? Which is why they went through the list of course, the, the list of agricultural products, where are they coming from? Of course, you can't sell the EU something you don't make. First of all, you should make it. And here's the thing though, just 2 points, as I conclude. Just because I only have 9 minutes. Two things though. As Africans, aren't we talking about adding value to our own resources? That's one. Two, the critical, what's the word that's used? The corridor serves as a critical artery that intends to considerably facilitate and lower the transit time and cost of goods among those three countries. Plus, because it's going to the port. When it's going to the port, it's not going to any of these three countries. Those three countries, such as agricultural and industrial products, as well as critical raw materials. I didn't go to a private school, am I an expert at everything English, but raw means unprocessed, not the other raw, you dirty-minded freak. Raw material means unprocessed. So, if we are setting up infrastructures, that is, if we have a joint vision 2030, and we are setting, here's the reason why I keep saying if we want economic development, we are going to have to start funding our own initiative. The Lobito Corridor Group, you can't blame the Americans and the EU for this one. They are funding the project predominantly, if not all of it. Now, therefore, they are going to fund it with their own intentions behind. That's it. Their goal is they need a manufacturing base that needs raw materials that's in this region. So they will set up an infrastructure to ship it, to make it easy for them to move these raw materials. And they're doing exactly that. Now, we have got to stop, waiting for for a piece of infrastructure to be completed, and then only for us to show up with suits and a giant scissor to cut the ribbon. Whoever came up with that really doomed Africans. But anyway, at this point, you're asking yourself, how are we going to benefit from that? One, I don't know. But from the look of things, it doesn't look very much like things are on our side. And for the most part, I can't blame the EU. They are just funding what will benefit them. If we want something, it's up to us as Africans to basically look at what will benefit us and then find the money. Please, for the love of God, don't borrow. I have an excellent financial, financial strategy to help Africans, be able to fund their own projects. The most important one, I'm sure there's a list and we can all come up with one, but the most important one, how about, this is just the top of my head, how about we just stop stealing it? That's not the funniest thing that made me, that makes me every day look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm so glad I'm a comedian. Okay, here's the thing. As an individual like you and me, every time that we put our money in the bank doesn't take that money and then shove it in a shell, in a safe somewhere. No. Every time you go to the bank, there's a queue. So there's one person that's depositing money, and guess what the two, three people are behind you are there for? To borrow money to go and start their own investments, Now that means they are going to bring that money with interest. So guess whose money they are borrowing? The money you are depositing is the money that someone is being given, someone that's borrowing. It's a cash flow in a accounting lingo. I don't know how I came up with that, but boy, I sound educated. Cash flow is what it's called. So I think the dumbest part about stealing money from the African continent and then banking it outside the continent is that that money is not being kept in the vaults of the Swiss bank, bank vaults. No! It's being taken, and then every time that you get in the queue at the IMF to borrow money, you are being given the same money to come to your continent and invest. Well, guess what you do with that money too? Steal it. So technically you are stealing your own money, which you were borrowed, and then you will have to pay for it with interest. When you look at it from that, you can't help but start getting on your knees and then ask anyone or anything that is holy somewhere in the universe and say, Lord, what is wrong with us? It's simple. If you steal money here and then go and put it in some bank in the U.S., well, guess what that bank is going to use that money for? They're not going to put it in the, in a safe, put it in the basement and then slap your name on top of the, the door of the safe. No. They will take that money and then invest it in a lot of investment ventures so that it can multiply. Well, guess what one of those ventures are? Your development projects. You're welcome. Now you just, so when you look at it that way, I think, every time I look at it that way, again, I'm not a financial expert, but every time I look at it that way, I can't help but look at, look at the leadership on the African continent and go like, my God, we're dumb. Now, I'm a comedian. Now, if I can figure that part out, African educated men and women that are in public office, in the, in Mozambique's 2.something billion tuna bond scandal, accounting experts were involved in those, were involved in that. Legal experts are involved in our fish road. Management experts and the expert, captains of industry, applying for bail there by Namco. But look, the thing is, that's where I look at us and go like, it's not the knowledge we lack, it's the insatiable appetite for soft life. Don't get me wrong. I want that too. So if you are thinking, no, you know what? This guy is speaking a lot of sense. Let's just vote him into office. Well, I'm not saying don't vote me. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying I know go chop money. Which is why if you don't want me to do that, laugh at my jokes now. So that I can make money from those jokes. And then I won't, take the political direction. Because, well, I have learned so much. Thanks to Eagle FM. Okay, John, you too. Thanks to politicians that have been screwing up. You guys deserve a special thanks. So, 2 minutes to the hour of six. To wrap up home run, let's just look at all this and then just ask ourselves one question. If one of those interesting point of economic, investment programs that were made back in 2022 in the Joint Vision 2030 by the EU and AU. Was the Lobito Corridor. I'm looking at it and going, this should be interesting. Again, I'm not pointing fingers at the EU or the American on this one. I want us to just look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, why are we not being able to fund our own projects? What's happening with the money? Then you'll realize that the biggest problem is not that we don't have the money. We have the money. It's just the mismanagement of it, which is very common even on an individual level. You have a lot of people that are working, but they're drowning in debts. And you have people that are just, selling something, be it clothes, sandals, or vegetables, at an open market. And they have money. Translation, Tombi was right. Money is not a problem. The problem is how to use it. You have no idea. That song took me forever to understand that. First of all, she was talking English. Second, she was talking about money. Now, the EU is a co-signatory of a memorandum of understanding that the three concerned countries that provide a cooperation framework for the development of the corridor through mobilizing investment on hard infrastructure, especially rail, and soft infrastructure for trade and transit facilitation. The investment is related sector along the corridor, such as skills development and job creation. Hence the education that was pointed out, that was pointed out in the momento. And that was pointed out back in 2022, the Prosperous and Sustainable Africa, when they met in Brussels, this was in 2022, we announced an African European investment package of at least 150 billion euros that will support the common ambition of 2030, and in the report they point out that part of that money was spent on the Lobito corridor. With that, I say goodbye until tomorrow, same time, same place here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Y'all have a good one and stay tuned. It's not business and economic segment. Now, with HD up next. For me, until tomorrow.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.